Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The Football Ramble have teamed up with audible.co.uk to offer you, our listeners, a free audiobook of your choosing. All you have to do is register for a 1-month free trial to claim your free audiobook. There are over 60,000 to choose from. If you're in the UK, you can register at audible.co.uk/footballramble. The 30-day free trial means you can choose a free audiobook from sizzling biographies to the latest fiction or even classical works, which is yours to keep whether or not you decide to cancel in the trial period. Register now at audible.co.uk/footballramble.
It's in the place, ladies and gentlemen. It's the Football Ramble. Good to have you with us. I've got my three chums with me. My name is Marcus, and Jim is my first friend.
Good evening.
Pete's the second.
Happy Easter, you fuckers.
And Luke's the third.
All right.
Indeed. Now, happy belated Easter. We've got an Easter-themed question to start the show with. Which footballer, from the past or present, do you remember fondly for his crosses?
Yeah.
See what I've done there?
Yes. After the buns, isn't it?
Yeah,
Jesus,
something like that.
Jesus Navas.
Jesus died on a bun. Something like that.
Answer the question.
Answer to the question is Andrei Kanchelskis.
Excellent.
He would whip them in for both Man United and Everton. It's quite an old school question, this, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
This is not nonsensical in any way. but yeah, no, I loved Kanchelskis. He was part of that sort of classic lace-up shirt Man United.
Oh,
era,
yeah.
Just knocking him in for Cantona and Hughes.
Come on, your Reds.
Let's not give the Liverpool fans any more ammo.
But he was a proper knock it on the because he was a right winger, of course, and knock it past the fullback's left side,
leave him just dead, whack it in.
Yeah, simple and effective.
I'm going to say mullet.
Didn't have a mullet.
He sort of had a mullet.
I don't remember the mullet.
He used to do that crap spin, didn't he? A lot. Remember that crap spin he used to do?
What was that one?
Oh, it was kind of like a crap spin. I can't really describe it any better than that.
Not a top
crap spin. No,
okay.
Crap spin.
But he could certainly cross.
He scored a great goal for Rangers once, the volley, which people... Any volley from a slight angle is Marco van Basten-esque.
Yeah.
But it was an absolute pitch. I think it was a Wyatt Dunfermline. So, yeah, he could score a few. But we're talking about his crosses, and it's a good start to the show, Jim. Pete, what have you got?
I'm going to go for a Hartlepool United footballer from the 90s. Which you probably have never heard of. Stephen Allardyce. He was brilliant. He was really jinky, but he could cross from deep, he could cross from the touchline, he could cross from anywhere. And he would always find either Keith Houchin or Joe Allen's head.
Would Keith Houchin would he just overhit it? He'd overhit it every time, and Houchin was like, oh, here we go again.
Have you borrowed your game on him, Pete?
Yeah, something like that. I said he would always reach him. I mean, that would not guarantee a goal because it was Keith Houchin, but he was just such a great footballer, and he was up for a big move to Sunderland, but the arbitration board set his fee at like 300,000.
Did he get homesick? He got homesick.
He was from Sunderland.
Yeah, that's a joke. Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
Clever girl.
And Peter Reid wouldn't pay it, so he ended up in. I think he went up to Motherwell in the end.
Was he worth 300,000 in your opinion?
He was brilliant. He was Hartlepool's best player.
So it's Peter Reid's fault that not many people know him.
Pretty much, I think so. He ended up in Carlisle for a little while.
I'd love Peter's my chief scout at my club. Yeah, he's brilliant. He was brilliant. Is he worth 300,000? He is brilliant. I'll pay it.
He's worth 300,000 in my opinion.
Yeah.
Excellent, Pete. Luke.
Memory Lane.
Uh-huh.
Take a trip down there.
Yep.
PFA Team of the Year 1992-93.
Okay.
Giggs.
Aha.
Keane.
Yes.
Wright.
Aha.
Shearer. Schmeichel. And a fullback called David Bardsley.
David Bardsley!
Long time listeners of the show will remember our very first co-presenter, Chimpo. He once, on this very show back in the day, said, David Bardsley, best post-war cross of the ball in England history.
Post-war.
That's such a Jimbo thing to
absolutely
say.
Absolutely.
And on my notes, I've just put Pasterburn, top man.
Yeah.
Yeah. David Bardsley, all sorts of pace, could beat a man, and his crossing was of great quality. So I'm going Dave Bardsley.
Oh, that's such a Chimbo thing to say. Oh, you're so Rachel. Yeah. Oh, you're so Ross. Piss off, Marcus.
Just because you weren't there.
Yeah, you're jealous of the past.
Jealous of the past. Which clubs did Bardsley play for?
QPR.
QPR.
Come on.
Yeah.
Got 6,000 appearances for QPR.
6,000?
6,000?
Yeah.
Mm. Give or take. 5,000. Come on, David Beckham.
Oh, I guess so.
Oh, come on.
All right, Luis Figo. Yeah. Won me the point. He's not won me the point. Pete's going to win the point.
Yeah.
For his... for
thing that wasn't Newcastle
Stephen
United
Allen.
Related. Woo.
Doesn't even know his name. You've got the points. Can't even remember his name.
Stephen Halliday.
Halliday. I know he said Allardyce for some reason. Stephen Allardyce, yeah. Ex-Hartlepool. Good start, boys. Now then, let's move on to the Premier League. We're going to start with Newcastle.
Oh, it's a Pete special today, isn't it?
It is a Pete special. Yeah. They beat Swansea 2-0 away.
Not a Chimpo special.
Nor the Chimpo one, and it never will be. Cisse with another brace. He scored... Eight goals in nine starts, which is up there with the best.
His second was fantastic.
Oh,
God, wasn't it? Falling over, wasn't it?
Completely under his feet. I don't know how he managed to dink it out of his chip it out of it. It's like a golf shot, wasn't it? Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Very,
is he the best Demba at the club at the moment?
Well, he's on form, isn't he?
Did you see the other Demba's face when that went in though, on the bench sitting behind him? Obviously he'd come off at that point, it was behind Pardew. He did not look happy. He just looked really like, I am sad.
Has he been moved a bit more sort of in a more wide position?
No, they're both sort of they're operating with a front three with Ben Arthur behind the main two. But I mean they're able to drift wider a lot more. But
it's always going to happen though when you get two forwards who are quite similar and you play them both up front, one will always take more centre stage than the other. Yeah. And Barwood has probably adapted his game a bit more around Cisse. And this
is why
Cisse,
man, you know what I mean? Yeah. And you know, if Demba Ba goes, they'll just slot Amiobi in, who can do that job.
Yay!
No, but Amiobi at the moment, he can hold up a ball. He can't run. He's done. He basically.
Ben Arthur's there to do the running for him.
Well, exactly. So you just hold the ball for the other.
Ball will start scoring again. It's a matter of time. Yeah, he's a great player.
It'd be great. It'd be good for them. Obviously, they can keep hold of him. But there's talk of him leaving because of a clause in his contract. But I mean, which would be ironic because in a way they signed Cisse to compliment him, didn't they?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I think I said it last week. It's all to do with Perch and Williamson coming in at a time when we're kind of on the bare bones a little bit.
And Perch is a utility man. He's great.
Well, he's playing midfield on this very day while we're actually recording the ramble. And like last week, he was in central defence and he was magnificent.
Perchinho. Jim.
Well, it's interesting that Newcastle didn't actually play that well against Swansea. It wasn't one of their better days.
We did have the ball.
The quality of Cisse showed. It was they're digging themselves out of holes and really at the right time. They're banging form at the moment. They've got a real push on for fourth there.
I was going to say they're right up there again, Newcastle.
Depends on how the results go with Chelsea and Arsenal, who both won at the weekend.
And Spurs.
Spurs as well.
Cisse just strikes me as being one of those sort of Andy Cole kind of strikers. If you give him a chance, he'd put it away.
He is a bit like Andy Cole, isn't he?
Andy Cole you would need five chances.
Well, but he got in Newcastle.
Not for Newcastle.
United, he was the same. But the thing is, he'd get those chances because his positioning was so just less faultless.
Yeah, so they're right up there. But of course, Arsenal, with a brilliant win against Manchester City, have put themselves right in amongst it, third position.
That's extraordinary.
What a game it
really
was, though.
Weren't they?
I thought it was going to end. I thought we were going to have a pulsating 0-0, but Arteta had other ideas.
It was a lovely banana shot, wasn't it?
It was.
Arsenal had about 60% of the possession, and City just didn't turn up. We were speaking on the phone about this yesterday, Marcus,
and
you rightly said it felt a lot like last season when City came to the Emirates, playing for a 0-0.
Yeah.
And even, you know, there were 10 men behind the ball at times. Their box was just filled with defenders at all times. Even when Arsenal went 1-0 up, City just didn't really have any. They didn't seem to have much ambition. It's like they've given up. Vincent Kompany and sort of Joe Hart aside, there just seemed no fight in the team.
And Balotelli, who's turned into Colonel Kurtz.
My God, Balotelli sort of felt like a bloke that was on the pitch but not playing for either side. Just sort of on there, just doing what he felt
what
like.
What a competition.
He set up a base camp. Anyone who came near him, he just kicked the shit out of him.
Yeah, I mean, he could have been sent off three times. Really, realistically, the two bookings were correct. The you know, the, obviously the terrible, terrible high tackle on Alex Song. There was a, what looked like a deliberate handball, and there were another couple of fouls as well, which could easily have been yellows.
Family football.
Yeah.
Prison
rules.
It's absolutely ridiculous, though. And like Mancini looks as though he's
he can play.
Yeah.
This one.
He's come out and done it again, hasn't he? He said he's probably going to sell him. I mean, there's a good. The chances are Balotelli will be further punished because the referee didn't deal with that terrible challenge on Song. So, I mean, he could be banned for the majority of the rest of the games anyway. Yeah. So, this could be it. Could be the last time we see Mario. I'm gutted.
I find that, same. Well, he's obviously going to go to another big club, so we should see him. It'd be amazing if he stayed in the Premier League. That would be incredible. Obviously, that's probably
maybe replacing Demba Ba.
I know you're talking. Yeah.
He's the one that everyone's blaming at the moment. He's still an incredible footballer.
Yeah, of course.
Well, what happens is he gets. He'll just be made the scapegoat because and it would have been Tevez.
Well, it's already started.
And people go so over the top with him, and we praise him because he provides quite a lot of material for the show, to be honest. But he's a great player. He scored a lot of goals this season. He's got about 18 or 19 goals, I think.
He's 21. Better than 1-2 his record, isn't
right?
It?
Yeah.
But you just look at that City side and you look at the forwards they have: Dzeko, Aguero, Balotelli.
Why is nobody pointing the finger at them? Nobody's pointing the finger at Tevez as much as Balotelli.
True, but you look at those four forwards. All of them are better than Danny Welbeck.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean?
But
Welbeck's attitude is far better than all of them. Well, maybe Aguero is a bit harsh, but
Aguero is obviously injured at a really crucial time for him.
Yeah.
I find it interesting the difference between the way Ferguson deals with the press and the way Mancini deals with the press. Now, obviously, there's a language difference, which you've got to give Mancini a little bit of leeway on. But he'll
and
say
also
stuff.
Ferguson.
Yeah, but Mancini will say things which are so sweeping and so unhelpful.
He is a prick. He won't play again.
We're not going to play him again.
Well, I couldn't believe it when the whole Tevez thing happened. He went, we're finished, done. No, we're going back to, you know,
October. He seems to wear his heart on his sleeve a lot.
I thought to myself, no, you should just say, Tevez has angered me, but we'll deal with it.
It's no one else's business.
Exactly.
You keep it within
the football club. Ferguson's brilliant at doing that.
It just seems to be a bit of a cloud over Man City, and there has been for the last few weeks. And I was at Carrington a couple of months before Christmas, and it was buzzing. The place was alive. Everyone was really positive, everyone happy, cheerful, smiling. They seemed to be really enjoying it. But as soon as the pressure's come on, it looks to have cracked.
Well, they bottled it, essentially. Yeah. It really looks like that. As I say, there was no fight in that team, and it's been like that for a while now. It just, there almost seems like an inevitability of Man United just sort of grinding out these wins. And it's,
I was really shocked by it. And Balotelli got sent off. He's just like so stupid.
It must be frustrating for him because there's nothing he can do.
Mancini should have taken Balotelli off at half time. It was obvious that was going to happen. So obvious. And in commentary, they were almost already blaming Balotelli for sort of throwing away the game in the league. Like, I mean, it happened like that 87th minute or something like that. So, you know,
I mean, City could take 6 points off United and still. United could win the season with a
beating
couple of games.
6-1 this year.
6-1?
That seems like forever ago.
6-1 at the Swamp, as the commentators
What the City owners need to realise, though, is it's all about improvements for City. And whether they get rid of Mancini in the summer for other reasons is up to them. But in terms of improvement of performance, I mean, they've already got the same amount of points already as they had at the end of the season.
Well, they've improved, no doubt.
And Man United have gone great guns. Man United won the title with 80 points last season. They've got 79 already, six games left. So they've improved hugely as well. Yeah. And the big part of that has been down to sort of the reintroduction of Paul Scholes, which Vieira and Mancini and those guys piped up with was a desperate move.
Really? Before bringing Tevez back.
It's a strange one.
But Balotelli's got 4 red cards for City already.
But we've got to talk about Arsenal as well, because they were superb.
Yeah, they really, really weren't. It's good to see them get a win after the setback against QPR as well. But they were the better team, which was the most impressive thing about them. I think it's really disappointing that Aaron Ramsey missed that shot late on, although probably quite, you know, good for any celebrities watching the game knowing they're not going to die the next day. That was a bit annoying, but they were just by far the better team. They had something like 60% possession, and it was just really encouraging that the Arsenal's home form is so strong. Wolves and Wigan coming up. Wolves is away. I'm not sure whether Wigan's at home or away. Obviously, they're going to be very tricky games because they're the teams fighting for their lives. They've come unstuck against QPR already in that sort of situation. But, I mean, Tottenham dropped points again as well. And I actually think Spurs and Arsenal have an advantage over Chelsea in that the the priority is finish above them.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, it's an extra motivation.
That's
it's
right.
Like, that's what they're going for. Mm. It's not so much, you know, finishing the top four, although, of course, that is a sort of huge, huge priority, but there's this added level to it. And I think that's going to keep it really interesting for the running.
Also, Chelsea will be, Di Matteo will be under huge pressure from Abramovich to focus on the Champions League mm. as well. And that's his huge ambition, as we know.
And they've only got Barca at first.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Two exhausting games.
I was going to say, yeah, two absolutely. Discouraging games.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, all eyes on the final.
he sort of said, I will have to find a tactic that will work for us against Barcelona. I was thinking, running away? Yeah. Maybe.
You will have to find a tactic that's never been seen before. Yeah. That's what we'd have to do.
Ignoring offsides seems to work.
Yeah, exactly.
I do quite like it in the league at the moment. Obviously, you've got the top two, the two Manchester clubs going for first, or United have now broken away. The two North London clubs, third and fourth, and the two Liverpool clubs going for seventh and eighth.
Yeah,
that's
nice. Now, there are a lot of duels.
Yeah, that's right. We just need Ipswich up now to get in there with Norwich or something, maybe. But yeah, Liverpool dropping points at home again. They were better against Villa, but.
Villa are terrible, though.
Oh, but it's a good point for Villa, though. I mean, they
Liverpool
need a point.
Are almost tripping over the points they've been dropping and just making things so much worse themselves. It's just.
I was looking.
When,
yeah, there wasn't. When preparing for the show, I was looking for positives to Liverpool to draw on this season. Every time you look, it just seems they've gone backwards. I mean, they're not going to get the same amount of points they got last season.
Yeah.
The signings haven't worked out for them. All right, it's still early days, and a couple of the signings they've made are young players. But you wonder what they're going to do in the summer. I mean, it's a big, big summer for them.
But that makes this weekend's FA Cup semi-final against Everton absolutely mouth-watering, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Everton had a 2-2 draw away to Norwich. Jelovic got a brace. He settled in quite nicely.
Yeah. They needed that as well.
He's scored a lot of goals for Rangers, and it's nice that he's made the transition.
He's got 17 goals for Rangers, I think, or something like that.
Yeah, his scoring record was decent.
He's hit the ground running here. He's got 4 or 5 for Everton.
Yeah, I think Leighton Baines was their top scorer, wasn't he, before that?
Four.
Yeah, something like 4 goals. They've obviously spread the goals all over the place. I think Jelovic might have already caught up with that, so clearly they need that. And also, Victor Anijabi coming back. He scored a few.
Yeah.
He's the size of a house.
Absolute
he is,
isn't he? Unit.
Yeah, he's a powerful,
powerful player.
He's not Yakubu.
Yakubu popping up in the left back position at the weekend. Always nice to see. Oh, it's 2-0. Brilliant.
Holt scoring again for Norwich.
Little bit of the 15th goal of the season. Genuinely, seriously, he's got to be considered for England.
You're damn right, Jim.
He's the second highest English scorer after Rooney.
But I was thinking about this. Because you know, I like Welbeck, but he doesn't score a lot of goals. His finishing's quite poor. His work rate's great, don't get me wrong.
I think that's what will get him on that play.
Oh no, I think he should go. Darren Bent's probably not going to be fit in time.
He's just started running again, I think.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Andy Carroll. Yeah. you know, Zamora, I mean, you know, I quite like Zamora linking up the play one thing another, but Grant Holt.
The only sort of thing about, there's a few arguments against it. One is that there's not enough games to try him.
Look into your heart, not your head.
Well, he's in. And the other thing is that I've said before, he gives away. I think at one point he might still be the highest foul giver awayer in the Premier
Fowler.
League. Yeah, and you get it's a lot more lenient in the Premier League. In international football,
he'd be off before half time.
Yeah.
And also, he and Sturridge are arguably quite similar as well, and you want as much sort of depth within your forward line as possible.
But he scored a lot of goals.
But he has scored a lot of goals, yeah.
Yeah. If you've got Ashley Young on one of the wings who can whip in a ball
and dive like a, you know.
Let's talk about United QPR.
Because we're going to need that. Let's embrace it.
Yeah,
can
that's
this
true.
please be this, you know, the international tournament where England start cheating?
Yeah.
Even more.
Yeah. Right, you've had your 40 odd years. We're cheating now. I was going to say, there's a lot of comparisons to be drawn between Holt and Luca Toni. And the positivity about taking Holt would be that a lot of the other teams wouldn't know anything about him.
Wouldn't know what hit them.
Yeah, exactly.
Because
we don't know anything about him. So how are you going to know anything at all?
United did beat QPR 2-0. Sean Derry sent off. Harsh.
Very harsh.
It was an offside and
a
wrong.
Dive. A clear dive.
Yeah. Not only harsh, but wrong.
But it was a bad dive as well. Like, it wasn't even.
It's really over the top, wasn't it?
But it is one of those ones, isn't it, where it's coming towards the end of the season. I mean, Manchester United getting the decisions again. Or is that nonsense? Is there anything in that?
I don't.
So he made the comment that there's no better indicator of Manchester United getting those sort of decisions at Old Trafford than the fact that Ashley Young used to do that at Villa and he never used to get
there. haven't United had a very, very small amount of penalties given to them this season?
Yeah, I mean, Ferguson was saying that. I mean, he was asked directly about the penalty thing at Old Trafford and he said, if you look at over the records in the Premier League era, we only get 3 penalties a season at Old Trafford if you average it out. yeah. anyway. So it's not a huge, even if it is, it's not a huge amount, mm. and it wouldn't yeah. it wouldn't be seen as more than the average across yeah. the country. Yeah, yeah,
but
anyway.
Is it just penalty decisions that people can
probably
play
not know? But this referee, there's been studies, blind studies done on referees where they've shown that they do give more decisions to bigger clubs. They do this, that, and the other, but it's not conscious. It's just one of those things. And
if you've got more possession in your well, attacking exactly. third, it's, naturally you are going to get
but
more decisions.
But if you've got better players with more pace, more trickery. Mm. You know, the opposing defender is maybe not as good at tackling as the top class defenders. Well, it does make sense.
Someone's making excuses.
on the sort of disciplinary note, one of the big pluses for United, if they go on to win the title this season, which they probably will, is that Rooney's been present the whole time. He's been the top scorer, and he's not had a single yellow card this season for United.
Yeah, wow. I did not know that. That's
not
incredible.
Had a single booking at all. Yeah, so he's saving them up for England when he comes back from suspension. Yeah, which is amazing. Really,
that's
isn't
right.
It?
And Paul Scholes scored.
Oh, yeah, that's nice. Yeah. Paul Scholes scores goals occasionally.
That's yeah. right. That's it. Sir Alex Ferguson was saying that England should take Rio to the Euros. Rio's now 33, saying that he's had to change his style of play, and obviously he's not the pacey athlete that he once was. But Ferguson says that he's eradicated those little errors he used to make because he used to rely on his pace a lot to get him out of trouble.
I would take Rio. I think you need an experienced head in there, and he fits that bill
perfectly. And a bad back.
Yeah, I mean, he has got a bad back, but he's played more games. I think he's played the most amount of league games since 2007.
Yeah.
So he's sort of turned it around a little bit, and maybe that is to do with the fact that he's changed his game around slightly. Mm. The other thing is, by the way, talking of centre backs for England, who else are you going to take?
Well, that's right.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it's not a huge amount.
Would you take him over Terry? Because it's, I mean, could they both play in the same team?
Hasn't Terry got a busted lung?
Has he?
He's got
cracked ribs.
Cracked ribs, but he'll be back, won't he? He wanted to keep playing on. Like, no, I'll play through the pain. You'll be rubbish, John. It's not helping.
Yeah.
Well, his Chelsea side beat Wigan 2-1, two offside goals.
Yeah. Blatant. Dear.
Real shame for Wigan.
My goodness, it is, isn't it? I tell you what, though, the second Chelsea goal, Torres got hold of that volley, didn't he?
Oh, yeah. I'll tell you what, that stayed hit.
Martinez, very pally with Di Matteo. I don't like to see that before the match. Wigan and stuff.
He was angry at the end, though. Yeah, Martinez is often quite calm. But
they were robbed. They were absolutely.
They were.
Yeah. Yeah, there's no doubt about
that's
that.
That's the thing about Chelsea, isn't it? I mean, teams go to Stamford Bridge and have done since the start of the season. If you think of, you know, West Brom and Norwich as well, nearly getting results, and Villa.
Well, Arsenal batter them as well. Mm.
Teams go there and they think, yeah, we can do this.
Yeah.
And then they actually do.
Yeah. Mm. Well, goodness knows what Barcelona are thinking. But we'll talk about the Champions League in a short while. We're going to move on to the Championship. And we're going to mention Portsmouth this week.
He used to be a waiter and now he is serving up goals or something like that.
what a cocktail, wasn't it? Hey.
You know what I mean? We'll talk about them this week, shall we?
Brilliant game.
It was incredible, wasn't it? One of the games of the weekend.
El Clásico, Southampton 2, Portsmouth 2.
When you compare that to the game at Fratton Park, which was turgid.
1-1.
Yeah, it was brilliant. It was a brilliant game.
We've taken a couple of points off Southampton.
Yeah, I mean, and obviously they've been one of the best teams in the division. I think that, to be fair, Southampton should have been out of sight by half time, but Ashdown was superb. And I was pleased for Ashdown because he's played second fiddle to David James and then to Henderson. He's only just come back into the side.
Yeah.
And he's always been seen as it's a funny one of Ashdown because I've always considered him to be a decent keeper. And sub goalkeepers are strange because you think, well, if he's good, he's just going to go because he wants to play.
Is he Steve Harper of the South Coast?
He sort of is. Steve Harper's quite good, but he's never played.
Yeah.
Ashdown's been the same, and he's come in and he kept us in the game. And in the second half, we controlled it. I thought the two young lone players were superb.
Incredible fight back as well, because you've got to have been looking at that game beforehand thinking, Ricky Lambert relegate.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I was. Yeah.
But just to, what was it, something like that 87th minute that Southampton scored?
And then
90 seconds that Pompey got the equaliser. Yeah, it was.
Pompey's goal equalised in the 95th minute.
Incredible.
And the reason that's encouraging as a Portsmouth fan is that they've had so much battering this season, both on and off the pitch, to concede so late against your rivals away from home. You'd think that their heads are going to drop here, you know. But they didn't. They kept on pushing. And the two boys on loan, Alan and Maguire, from Derby and West Brom, they controlled the game. And I thought, at that age, in that sort of intense atmosphere, their parent class must be delighted with them. I don't know how Maguire isn't getting the Derby. Couldn't get in the Derby side. I
mean, what a goal that was from him!
What a hit!
Yeah.
Decent hit.
Yeah. Steered up.
Yeah. Both of the Pompey goals were great.
Yeah,
they?
Norris loved it. Ooh. Absolutely loved it.
I bet you couldn't believe your luck.
He's going. He went mental. He went absolutely mental. No, it's brilliant. Because I just thought we're never going to get anything out of the game. I thought we'd get beat 3-4.
It is great for Portsmouth, as you say. Such trial and tribulation yet again.
But again, it's frustrating because they lose at home to Burnley 5 the weekend before, and if they could just show a bit of that sort of resilience of fight, and they'd be fine.
Obviously you're worried about relegation and all, but if Portsmouth go down to League One, you know, they might stay there for a while.
Yeah, they almost certainly will do. Well, yeah, let's be honest.
Who's going to invest, you know?
Well, exactly.
Well, and
Story said he might come.
No, yeah, good. We've done, try that one last week.
Oh, sorry, right, yeah.
We're just going to get players like of Taubay and Haim sort of level off the wage bill and rebuild and start again. Turn it into a club where you're not living beyond your means.
That's right.
If that means League One or even League Two to start with, then you have to just suck it up because you've had the glory years up and winning the FA Cup.
That's right.
You've got to take the rough with the smooth.
Well,
the
attendance
build
isn't
up.
Really, you wouldn't argue that was a Championship club, effectively.
Well, it's not. The attendance isn't massive, though, is it? Yeah.
That's what I mean. Yeah, yeah. It deserves a league.
The further down you go, it would just be that guy with a bell.
Yeah, exactly. But you're absolutely right. But one of the things that maybe isn't that well advertised is the fact that Pompey are an architects of their own downfall to a certain extent. Beginning of the last season, they took away the early bird season ticket thing. They make it very difficult for you to buy a ticket because they act like they're a Premier League club and they don't. You ring them up and you have to give all your date of birth and your address of everyone.
They don't do the dizzy stick at half time anymore.
Exactly, and that's a big crime. That is a crime. I'd like to see that come back.
Yeah, well, I think we all would. West Ham won. They did. They beat Barnsley 4-0 away.
Emphatically as
better.
Well.
Better.
What I loved about that game as well was the third goal where Mark Noble tackled the goalkeeper and then chipped it in. Don't see it enough.
Yeah.
Mainly because goalkeepers generally
don't
play well.
But they pick up the ball and stuff.
Yeah.
That's a club record, 11 away wins for this season.
Is that right?
That's the first time they've ever done that.
Good fact.
Barnsley were awful. Really bad.
Perfect win for West Ham. They really needed a sort of convincing win. Nicky Maynard was excellent as well.
Well, they're in third, West Ham, and chasing that automatic promotion spot, which they looked odds on in getting earlier on in the season, because obviously Reading and Southampton are just pulling away. There was 4 points at the start of recording, but it could change. But another good win for Birmingham. They beat Crystal Palace 3-1. A couple of great goals. Chris Burke.
All of the goals in that game are really good.
Keith Fahey. Birmingham look as though they're going to be in that playoff spot.
Yeah, they've got really momentum, haven't they?
They have, yeah. Whereas Middlesbrough, again, they looked odds on for a playoff spot at the start of the season. They lost 2-0 at home to Cardiff. Cardiff with a horrible away kit.
Awful. Yeah.
What does it look like?
Sort of yellow and brown, was it?
It was sort of yellow and black, but in a really confusing pattern.
If that came out, really you'd be 80s. Like, oh, no. Not I didn't see somebody. Did you see Dobby's goal for Blackpool? It was messy-esque. He took on about five players and slotted it home. It was brilliant.
I tell you what, actually. There was so many good goals in the Championship and the lower leagues on the weekend. It was ridiculous. It was an Easter treat, let me tell you. Talking of Easter treats, let's go to the SPL, where Celtic have treated their fans to a Championship win. They beat Kilmarnock 6-0.
Battered them.
They thought, right, let's just get it done.
Congratulations to Celtic.
Yeah, indeed. Neil Lennon actually was saying it was like the proudest moment of his career and all that kind of stuff, wasn't he? As you'd imagine it would be.
Because even with the points deduction, they're still, it's something like, it would be 7 points clear, isn't it?
Exactly.
Like
even Walter Smith said that Celtic are the best. They're the
deserving. Well, we said that
deserving.
Few weeks ago.
Of course,
the best side,
you know, and it's nice for them to have won it now. Do you know what I mean?
To win it in that fashion as well. With a pumping.
Poor old Killy. Hibs drew with Motherwell 1-1. Bad news for Motherwell though. That their team bus got stuck under a bridge on the way home from Edinburgh.
I love it. Those bridges tell you. That you can't go under them.
No one was hurt, by the way. We should say the damage was minimal. As the team bus was lodged under the bridge at New Street.
Is it still there?
I hope so.
Yeah,
I'd love it. With like tourists taking photos.
It's got Frank Spencer on it. Conducted it.
I'm trying to think of like some sort of simile or metaphor for like free kick walls or something.
Parking the bus.
Parking the bus. Wedging the bus.
Unintentionally parking the bus. The wheels are turning, but they're just giving off smoke.
Wedge the bus under the crossbar.
I was hoping for a more James Bond live and let die scenario where the top of the bus would just come off and they keep going.
I don't think they're going fast enough.
Is that right?
No. At one point they were going, stop. Oh, fucking hell, speed up.
Yeah, but have you seen the photos of it? It's properly wedged under it. So he hasn't gone under a bit and then reversed. He thought, no, I could get through this. I'll just squeeze
it
through.
He's persevered.
Yeah.
There's nothing like a bus driver's perseverance.
Some would say it was a foolish move.
Yeah, but you know the whole team were going, go on! Glorious. Absolutely glorious. Oh, dear. Yeah. We're staying in Scotland. We're going to go down to the Scottish League Division 3. If you think Celtic won the league in magnificent fashion, Alloa beat Elgin 8-1. Oof. And were crowned champions. And Elgin are, I think they're fourth, you know.
Bully for big scores, eh?
Bully for big scores.
Alloa.
Now then, let's go to the continent. La Liga, where Lionel Messi became the first player to score 60 goals in a season in Europe's top flight since Gerd Müller in 72-73.
I thought it was Dixie Dean. Oh, Müller's obviously done it as well. That
part. Well, no, the first one since...
Sorry.
Dixie Dinnacle scored 60 league goals.
Oh, okay, yeah.
In 27-28.
Absolutely savage.
Yeah. But Messi once again. They beat Zaragoza 4-1.
67 he's got to get, hasn't he, to beat the record?
Yeah. Or to equal it. I think Müller got
Yeah, I think Müller got 67, yeah. So, you know, don't think you're all that just yet, Messi.
Yeah.
There are still quite a lot of games left, though, aren't there?
Yeah, there is. I mean, even if there was one game left, he could still do it. Yeah.
Don't think you are Blackpool's Dobby yet.
Müller's going to be piping up like Pele, going, well, you know, he's not proved anyone proved anything until people start saying, oh, he's absolutely Messi'd that. They say that about my surname. I don't know why Gerd Müller's a Cockney, but there you go.
Yeah. Even if Gerd Müller didn't pipe up, Paul Breitner would be in his ear. Go on, pipe up.
No, Paul Breitner wouldn't be in a pipe up because he's too busy doing draws for European events. Every single event, Brighton's there. He comes with the kit. They unpack the kit and Brighton just steps out and messes up his afro and goes, oh, hi, everyone.
So they beat Zaragoza 4-1, did Barcelona. Mm.
They were really under the cosh as well.
They were.
The first half an hour or
They went 1-0 down, as you say.
Yeah, and also Valdes saved a penalty.
Yeah. But Real Madrid drop points again.
at Valencia, who normally crumble.
Yeah,
They didn't give Madrid a second. They worked so hard. Yeah. Rode the luck a little bit.
They did. Their keeper had a few good saves.
And the gap's getting smaller and smaller.
We've got a title race on now.
Yeah, amazing.
4 points.
I think they're going to do points. It. The romantic in me thinks Barcelona are going to do it.
Yeah. Well, Madrid also have Atletico Madrid away, I think it is, this
week.
And
Madrid, weirdly, still could win the league by beating Barcelona. There's lots of different possibilities that can happen.
I'm glad there's something riding on that game now, because I thought, it was 10 points, you know, it's a bit of a shame. In the same way, it's a bit of a shame that the game at the Etihad, Manchester United go there. Oh, well, I suppose if Manchester United can win the league there.
Yeah, then imagine
that.
That
would be massive. After the 6-1.
Where's your 6-1 now? Yeah, just
embarrass them. Embarrass them.
Imagine United beat City 6-1 at the Etihad to win the title. And Ferguson just sits there, just nodding, going,
The way cities don't seem to care about playing anymore, they could well do it.
It could happen.
Can you imagine how many crying teenagers there'd be?
Oh my god.
It'd be a torrent.
Yeah. That one guy would lose about 6 stone just through tears alone.
Yeah, he'd cry all the moisture out of his body.
Also in La Liga. Levante beat Atletico Madrid 2-0. They're 1 point off Valencia.
They've decided they want it a bit.
Maybe. They're fourth. They are fourth. Yeah. It's incredible. They are one of the stories of this season.
Yeah.
Because obviously at the start we said, oh, it's great to see them, and blah, blah, blah.
Italian teams are ringing up UEFA going, coefficient. Levante, they're in it. Levante are in it, and we've only got 3.
God, can't we just buy a place? What? Yeah. Nothing.
Yeah, wrong number. Wrong number.
You're breaking up.
Well, let's go to Italy then. Where Milan lost at home to Fiorentina 2-1.
Yeah, two great goals from Fiorentina. Great to see Jovetic back and scoring.
Yeah,
and Mauri as well.
Yeah, Mauri.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. Mauri scored.
And it helped out Juventus as well. It's like the best thing he's ever done for them.
I was going to say that the reason that Fiorentina.
It's Darren Gibson
is. Isn't it? He's the Italian Darren Gibson.
The Brazilian Italian.
Well, he's naturalised Italian. Yeah. I was going to say, about my Betfair column, I backed Fiorentina to beat Juventus. Lost 5-0. Beat Milan, didn't they?
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
You just got the wrong one.
Unbelievable.
But you knew there was a winner, a big away win there somewhere.
I knew that in him.
Yeah. So Juventus at the time of recording have gone top. There are games this week in Serie A, so that could change. But Milan, it's funny, isn't it, how all the teams in the top three leagues, you could argue Manchester City, Real Madrid, Milan, you know, they were all odds on and they
wobbly.
Well, Pato's got a real bad injury, hasn't he? He's going to be out for forever.
Well, indefinitely. Yeah. I mean, the Milan doctor said about Pato, he's been all over the place from Germany to the United States. Lots of doctors and therapists have examined him and treated him, but I just don't know who to turn to next. And that is very worrying. He's only 22, I think,
Pato.
Yeah,
he's had an awful time of it for injury, hasn't he? Mm. Yeah, I do feel for him. What, such a good player.
And as well, I mean, if you look at some of the Brazilian players for the 2014 World Cup, I mean, you know, some of their big players, you know, we'll talk about Brazil at the end of the main section of the show, but it's a great shame because you want that. I mean, hopefully in 2 years he'll be fine, but so many injuries. I mean, he's had
14 injuries in the past 2 years.
Yeah. And the worst thing about, the most worrying thing about it is if you're tempted to think that if he can get sorted out anywhere a bit than Milan Lab.
Well, that's right.
They can't find anything wrong with him. Find how to fix it.
Back in the day, this would be like, you know, you're finished.
Well, he would have finished.
But then you just sort of think, well, if they can't do anything, it's 2012 and you can fix pretty much everything nowadays.
Yeah. Well, it is a worry. I mean, he came on against Barcelona in the Champions League and had to be subbed off again, which is terrible to see. But better news for Milan and football is that Antonio Cassano has incredibly made his first team comeback. It was against Fiorentina.
Incredible. He had a stroke.
Incredible.
Yeah. Like, I'll make it a hat-trick. Incredible.
But when I read that he was, you know, on the bench for that game, I thought, hang on a minute, what?
Yeah, they had to get a little heart specialist to give him the all clear, didn't they?
But he only just started training with his first... I mean, he has been in training since the start of the year, I think, obviously.
Yeah, but it's a nice... I mean, if you give him a sort of few minutes at the end, it's a great incentive for him. So this is what you're missing out on, we'll keep working hard. And like I said, a bunch of heart specialists all gave him the all clear, said that he's fine, he looks to have fully recovered. We'll keep a watch and brief on it, but he's good to go.
I just found it so hard to think, man, he's...
Imagine if he won them the title.
Oh, that'd be brilliant, wouldn't it?
Well, hopefully he'll be fit for the Euro.
There's also talk that Fabrice Mwamba will be able to be back in training within a month or so, which is great news.
Incredible.
Inter drew 2-2 away to Cagliari. Melito scoring again. I was looking at Melito's record this season: 18 goals and 25 league appearances.
That was a brilliant spin for his goal in that game. Also, Cagliari's first goal was in like the fourth minute or something like that. It was one of their centre backs scored like a sort of overhead kick.
Brilliant. Delightful. Now Inter sporting director Marco Branca was asked at the press conference which unveiled new signing Freddie Warren about Balotelli, and Braga said, "I don't want to be rude and I will respond briefly. Balotelli is not a topical interest issue. Today we will talk about Warren. As for Mario, there will be time to speak about him in 1 or 2 months."
Prandelli
said that he's still considering him, didn't he, even after his red card the weekend. He said that he's still considering him as part of the Azzurri, which is great for him. I mean, because I think that, you know, Prandelli was really keen to use young players and sort of, I don't know, signify a new era. And so that's why he continually ignored that Di Natale, who's just scored goals for fun.
I was going to say, who deserves to be in there.
So it'd be interesting to see what happens with those guys for the Euros. I'd love to see Di Natale in there. I really would.
I would as well. Yeah. He can hit a free kick, that guy.
He can do everything.
Let's move on to the Champions League, where Bayern Munich will play Bayern Munich will play Real Madrid.
What a tie!
I know.
We've got. In my opinion, we've got the three best teams in Europe left in the semis.
Chelsea.
Yeah. No. No disrespect.
Chelsea's bench.
Chelsea deserve to be there.
No, Chelsea have been great in the Champions League.
Bayern, Real Madrid, and Barca.
Yeah, absolutely.
We want to see a Barca Real final.
I think so.
We do.
But Bayern are a
I think a lot of people are kind of writing them off almost because we want to see a sort
They've
of.
They've slipped under the radar, haven't they?
So much. Absolutely, yeah. Mm. And they have been kind of up and down in Germany, but then that's because the German league is so strong this season. And they're really, really tight. If Robin and Ribery are on form.
Do you think they'll get past Madrid then, do you?
I don't know, but I think they're going to make it very tough for them.
But that, as you said, but there's two classic Champions League ties. With Chelsea, Barcelona, we've had some amazing ones with them.
Madrid haven't really had a really tough opponent so far in the Champions League as well.
Previous rounds.
Bayern could really surprise them with that.
It was great to see Applewell score a couple of goals at the Bernabeu, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah,
the first one was one of the goals of the game.
I think there was some crazy fact that they had more shots at the Bernabeu than any other Champions League tie that season.
Yeah.
Which is great stuff. To me, that just seems like they sat in the changing room going, right, let's have a bloody good day out.
Yeah.
I want my goal.
Who's on penalties?
Who's on direct
free kicks?
Well, they got a penalty, didn't they?
Yeah.
I was like, I don't miss it. For crying out loud. He tucked it away. Thank goodness for that.
Bloody loving this.
But I thought it was better.
They're
still
in the Champions League, aren't they? Yeah. Not get too battered.
I thought it was better for Applewell that they did play Real Madrid, because I think if they played someone like Benfica, I think Benfica would have beaten them, and it would have been quite a shame. If you play Real Madrid, it's like, yeah, we've got the quarterfinal.
That's basically their final.
Exactly.
It's like a small team when they get like United at Old Trafford.
Exactly.
It's much better. It's much better.
Marvellous. Now, have you heard Michel Platini, obviously UEFA's president, is apparently contemplating getting rid of the Europa League and in favour of extending the Champions League to 64 years. 64 years?
Wow.
That's a
Oh, dear.
Still probably quicker than the Europa League.
To 64 teams in 4 years' time.
64 teams?
64.
Yeah.
Isn't it something like six teams from each top league would go through?
That's unbelievable. Yeah. That's
well,
ridiculous.
Something does need to be done about the Europa League. So
getting the
won...
Cup Winners' Cup and UEFA Cup back.
But that effectively just makes that sort of European Super League that everyone's talking about. It's most of the league.
Liverpool fans are going, let's not roll it out.
I was going to say, it's a Newcastle fan.
Yeah, let's not get too hasty.
But yeah, six places for... I mean, it would be Spain, England, and Germany. It would be, I think,
it would take precedent over domestic competition.
Of course, it would.
Simple as that.
Yeah. It would be fantastic in and of itself, but it would damage other leagues, I would think. Yeah. Though, as I say, something has to be done about the Europa League. So maybe a sort of almost smaller version of that.
Just take it back to what it was. You just don't try and ape the Champions League. There's too many teams in it.
Make the Europa League knockout.
Yeah. And call it something different.
Yeah, because it won't make sense.
Like the Cup Winners' Cup.
Oh, dear. Let's go to Brazil before we go to going for Glol. We've got an Adriano update. The Emperor,
still eating?
Yeah, the Emperor, of course, parted ways with Corinthians after a troubled spell. He's been linked with a move to Flamengo. Ronaldinho plays for them as well. Yeah.
Pie Town.
Haven't really thought that one through, have they? No.
You do the drinking, I'll do the eating. We've got all these bases covered. Yeah. And now they pops up, I'll do the shagging.
And then they all just combine the three.
Pele pops up, I would.
Ronaldinho's busy masturbating to webcam. Yeah. Ronaldinho.
Oh, Ronnie.
All just wishing Pele would shut up about Messi. Oh,
but Adriano's picked up an injury, though, which will rule him out for 3 months. He said he considered retiring. You know, he's only 30 still. Mm. Crying out loud.
Adriano is the fattest player I've ever seen.
Yeah, it's never
in that in that press shot. I'm going to stick my neck out here. In that press shot of Adriano,
Ian Marshall,
when he's been when he's been unveiled at
Parkin
thing,
yeah,
he is absolutely massive. He's fatter than Neville Southall.
But to,
what now?
For a man of his age to have that gut, I mean, present company accepted. to have that kind of gut, it's just like, how do you even train?
Yeah.
Do
you
stand up at any point?
Yeah, do you walk around? Maybe he's got one of those little mobility scooters and he's just given up. Yeah. That's what I plan to do.
You can't do that on the pitch. Yeah. That's in my contract. No, you can't take it on the
pitch. But you'd see clips of what you were.
Yeah.
Surely that would...
Well, he's obviously... I mean, joking aside, he's got issues.
Yeah, no, massively. But he did say that his goal is to recover, maybe sign with Flamengo and return to the Brazilian national team. I mean...
Well, why not? Aim high.
Yeah,
it's good that he's aiming high.
He's had as you said, he's had a bit of a troubled life, and he was like the head of his family at 21 or something. His father died or something. It's just terrible.
No, there is a lot of issues there, and we do wish him all the best. But
because aside from everything else, he's a brilliant player.
Oh, he was. He's unplayable on his day. Remember when Inter absolutely murdered Valencia at the Mestalla in the Champions League? They won 5-1, and Adriano was just an absolute monster.
I think one tie against Valencia, he did murder them, I think.
That was that one,
But 27 goals in 48 international matches for
it's not too
Brazil.
Shabby, is it, for Brazil? Yeah. You know, to get 48 caps for Brazil, it's decent.
That's right. Well, I mean, if you're a Brazilian fan, you know, Ronaldinho's not having the best of times at Flamengo at the moment. You'll be breathing a sigh of relief to see Kaká's recent good form at Real Madrid. Mm. You know, the World Cup's only a couple of years away.
Well, I got Neymar as well and one or two others, but Kaká is a Rolls Royce of a player when he plays, and it's great that he's back, definitely. Mm.
Also, we were talking about Brazil in the World Cup. Jerome Valcke, he's due in Brazil this week for another FIFA inspection.
They're going to let him in?
They are going to let him in, but I don't think they're going to pay too much attention to him. Brazilian Congressman Roberto Requinhal has expressed his views at Valcke returning to the country, who, of course, Valcke publicly criticised Brazil's preparations. And the congressman said that Brazil cannot accept FIFA's doorman. He said, we approved to receive Blatter, but not FIFA's janitor.
Nice. Is he a doorman or a janitor?
Well,
he does both.
If it's up to me, he will get a kick up the arse.
I love it.
The congressman saying that to the general secretary.
Well, it kind of is up to him, isn't it?
Yeah. A little fact I read recently with regards to the World Cup preparations in Brazil. 900,000 families have been displaced by slum clearances around World Cup projects in host cities.
Yeah, they've got a track record of doing this sort of thing in Brazil.
What happened in South Africa as well, didn't it?
It's awful. Woeful stuff.
Put it into perspective. Anyway, now it's time for Going for Glold.
It is time for Going for Glold. Let me just fetch my clue. Going for Glold. Glold. Are you ready, gents?
We are.
this is a man I've wanted to do for a little while, but I haven't had the opportunity. So
you literally choose your own ones, so you could do whatever you can.
Correctly.
Yeah. If we chose them, it would really defeat the point.
Right, your first clue.
Stop. Is Pavel Cernicek.
Not Pavel Sergeant.
You've been there for a while.
Stop, Steve Watson.
Yeah, Steve Watson. I've not done a Newcastle
stop. John Beresford.
No. You're making a mockery of this. Right, first clue. I didn't make my international debut until 27, but still managed 51 caps. That's decent, isn't it?
That's very good. That's a good stat. Factoid. Yeah. But I've got nothing.
My first club was Keith.
Keith.
Oh, okay.
Marcus has got a little
well, that's Scottish, isn't it? So it's got to be Scottish.
It's got to be Scottish.
I think they were beaten 10-1 once by Rangers in the Cup.
I once signed for £4 million after winning the domestic treble. His manager then said he's not my kind of player.
Stop. Colin Hendry.
Good lad.
I managed two clubs, Blackpool and Clyde. My first club was Cleath. Gazza destroyed me in a notable European competition.
I thought you could have. I look like a man, a woman in drag. No, that doesn't work. A man in drag. What was that?
I knew what you meant.
Yeah, he looks a bit like an old legend.
Straight in there with Colin Hendry.
Colin Hendry was a brilliant player.
Yeah, he was. That clue.
Started as a striker.
Did it for me. Yeah. He was unfairly sort of pilloried for that Gascoigne goal.
Yeah.
There was nothing he could do about it. No. He ended up on his arse. It was a stroke of genius, and he shouldn't be judged on that because, as you said, Jimmy, he won loads as well. He's excellent.
See, a real rock for Blackburn the season they won the Premier League. Mm. Really, they couldn't have done it without him.
Yeah. It's email time.
Thank you for your email, lady.
Bigots. Hello.
Is that us?
I hope not.
I've emailed you before regarding your pro-Rangers anti-Celtic bias. However, I had to put this to one side and was just looking at your Ramble-related merchandise on your shop when I noticed that your fetching range of T-shirts are predominantly priced at £16.90. Is there no end to your bigotry? Are you aware that with the new sectarian laws you could face prison next time you enter Scotland? Mick McGarrity.
Thanks, Mick.
Sorry, Mick.
Cheers, Mick.
Good luck at Edinburgh, Jim. Yeah.
Shut up, you big Mick.
Yeah.
Leave it.
Okay.
Shall I do an email?
Yeah,
go on then.
Been a while.
Mix
I don't
it up.
Know very often, do I?
Go on then.
This is from David Triggs.
Triggsy.
He said, how's it hanging, Ramble Tots?
Yeah.
Have a read of this.
Better than bigots.
Yeah, marginally. Have a read of this April Fool's stunt pulled by Bury FC as they uploaded this story onto their website on Sunday morning. Seriously, had me going for a few minutes before I finally clicked on. And it says, Bury FC's Gig Lane Stadium will be rotated 90 degrees over the summer. With the new season due to start later than normal due to the Olympic Games, the club are taking the opportunity to rotate the stadium with a view to increasing the utilised space on Gig Lane. Starting the day after the final home game of the season, the entire site will be lifted using an American specialist lifting and moving team. The process will start by jacking up the entire stadium, including all four stands, floodlights and the pitch. Next, a series of heavy-duty wheels will be rolled into place before the entire stadium is turned 90 degrees to the left. It goes on to say the whole process will be shown live on Shakers Player, which I imagine is their website video cam. And we hope to carry full details of this large and complicated move in the coming days.
Excellent work.
Yeah. Bury fans, just imagine that's not happening.
Yeah. April
1st. As of time of recording.
And now it's time for a profile, you beauties. We've got an English legend. A man who turned 90 recently. It's Sir Tom Finney.
Oh, the Preston plumber.
The Preston plumber. Born on the 5th of April, 1922.
Oh, 45 years before the Summer of Love. And I got that wrong last week.
Yeah,
the
first time. But I love it, though. The one you got wrong was Carnu's date of birth. So you could have got it right.
Yeah,
good point.
It's a stab in the dark.
The other thing I got wrong last week, while we're doing corrections and clarifications, I got Neil Warnock confused with Steve Bruce. Easily done.
Yeah. I also incorrectly corrected your pronunciation of something. So we have been pilloried all over the place by you lot.
I was on form, though, guys. Don't worry about it. Just doing the crouchy robot dance. Yeah.
What a team we are.
Yeah, Pete carried us through.
Anyway, Tom Finney.
An outside right was his position. You looked at me. Yeah, I was going to say, I thought, let me clarify that. One of the greatest English players of all time. It's incredible, really, when the man like that reaches a milestone of 90 years old and the tributes come in and you just think, whoa, this guy was a superb player. You know, it really does. And a one club man as well. Yeah.
for his beloved Preston North End. He was born in a road which lies adjacent to Preston North End's Deepdale Stadium,
which is fantastic because he spent a lot of time at that stadium. Let me tell you,
home from home.
I love all these old players. They tend to have been born at home.
But I like the idea of the training ground being like miles out of the town.
Yeah,
just sort of going. I live here. Yeah. And the stadium's there. Can I not just go there?
That's right.
Why have I got to go right over there for doing training? That's not even my job.
He must have walked to games.
Yeah, I bet he did. With it. I like to think he walked to games with his boots around his neck.
Yeah. Oh, do you know what? I think I heard something that he would walk to games often with his boots in a brown paper bag.
Nice.
Old school.
Yeah, very much so.
Very wasteful.
Before his professional career really began, he was called up to the army to serve during World War II. So some of his sort of late teenage years.
Yeah, I don't think he made his competitive debut to the age of about 24 because of the war.
Is that right? Yeah,
I think
like
he made
that.
His debut in 46.
Early 20s.
I think the only thing they played was sort of exhibition games when they were home and that sort of thing. Because he was in Italy for the war, wasn't he? Something like that.
North Africa.
North Africa was the arcade.
Egypt, easily confused. He was a tank driver in Montgomery's 8th Army. If you're going to be in an 8th Army, make sure it's Montgomery's. Yeah. after the war, you know, he's effectively started his professional career with his hometown club, Preston North End. Not before finishing his plumbing apprenticeship, though. His father wouldn't let him do that. It was a family business. So he began playing at Preston North End as a fully qualified plumber and got the nickname the Preston Plumber.
Did he not carry on being a plumber?
He did.
Because he wouldn't earn as much money because they have the maximum wage or something.
That's right. He was one of the most famous players in the country, and yet he was still a plumber.
Imagine just popping up. All right, yeah, I won't be a second. Yeah, I don't for you now.
It's ridiculous, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's like
Wayne Rooney
popping around. Yeah, actually, that seems feasible.
Yeah, he looks like a plumber.
But there's a lovely one that one of his teammates and former Manchester United manager, Tommy Docherty, said, you know, we'd finish training and go out in the car park and Tom would have a wheelbarrow. He'd finish training and push his wheelbarrow to the next plumbing job. Incredible, isn't it? And Ken Horton, who played inside forward for Preston, was an accountant and he'd do the secretarial work for Tom Finney's business.
Brilliant.
Yeah. And Tommy Docherty had a lovely quote as well recently in the tributes for Tom Finney. He said that, because he was asked, is it a bit unfair to say Preston North End were a one-man team? And he said, oh, well, a lot of us used to call our team the plumber in 10 leaks.
That's excellent.
Tom Finney went on to have a marvellous career. He really did. Now, apart from the second division championship, never won any trophies with Preston. But again, that just shows what a fantastic player he was. Because if he was in a star-studded team and they won loads of trophies, don't get me wrong, he'd still be a great player. But the fact is that people talk about him as one of the greatest English players of all time. Mm. And he never won any of the big trophies, really.
Yeah. It paved the way for Charlie Adam.
Indeed he did. Well, along with Sir Stanley Matthews, who played a few years before Finney, as well as playing with him, they kind of developed the English wing game, I suppose. Yeah. And Finney mainly played on the right for Preston, but for England he'd switch on to the left to accommodate Sir Stanley Matthews. Can you imagine having wingers of Matthews and Finney?
Yeah, we weren't bad, were we?
That's right.
I remember a while ago watching a game, England against Spain. I think it's stretching my knowledge to the limit here, but I think it's like 1955-ish, and it's on YouTube. And the highlights, and Finney missed a penalty in that game, but he also scored, and they beat Spain about 5-0, something like that. And the mover just pulled him all over the place.
Yeah,
absolutely pulled him all over the place.
Imagine
it was great.
Fullbacks would just be in tatters.
Yeah, mm.
Be all twisted up.
But Stan like Mortensen in that side as well.
Sorry,
Stan Mortensen.
Was
in that side as well. There's a hell of a lot of.
And Matt Lofthouse was
in
this
course.
Sort of twisted blood.
The 50s should have been a golden era for English football, for England in the international stage. We'll talk about that in a sec. But yeah, Finney, I mean, you shoot with either foot, great in the air, devastating change of pace, and just the ball control, everything. He's just a wonderful, wonderful football player. He loved playing for England as well. He said it was the greatest honour a professional footballer could have playing for his country. And he got his first call up. I mean, this is just an old school English story. His first call up during the 1940s, he was away on military duty and he was sent a telegram from the FA telling him he was getting a call up. Delightfully English, you know. And he had many great memories playing for England, but one early on was after a match against Scotland. Finney said, after I'd scored against Scotland, Field Marshal Lord Montgomery Montgomery came into the dressing room and he said, "Congratulations, it was a fine goal from a man who fought alongside me."
Oh, nice. He's loving that.
Yeah.
Sorry, have you got a pass?
Yeah, yeah. Right, guy, I'm just looking for the toilet. During the World Cup.
Back at Preston, he was wowing crowds all over the country and no much more, more so than the dearly loved Preston faithful. And many said that when Preston North End came to town, it would put a few thousand on the gate. Yeah, because people just wanted to see this guy, which again just shows he was a household name, but he was still doing the plumbing jobs, you know.
Yeah.
Which is why he was a household name.
Yeah, true. Would you not do your sinking and go, "Oh, I better call the plumbing. Hopefully it'll be him. We come out."
You get someone else, so you'd be annoyed.
Some players go through the motions. He went through other people's motions.
Well, surely he was self-employed as a plumber. So why would you go to anyone else?
Yeah,
he must have had so much
business. Yeah.
Did anyone know? He didn't leave Preston the whole time, though.
No, he was there his whole career was at Preston.
Can't believe no one else tapped him up.
Ah, yes! Boosh.
Excellent. I should have known it was a trap.
Don't force it.
It's true.
Left defenders lagging behind anyone?
Yeah, it works.
Great insulation, but fuck off.
No swearing in the Tom Finney profile.
It's not what he wants.
It's not
good enough for a Knight of the Realm.
Knight of the Realm.
And a life president of Preston North End.
I imagine he did
and
some swearing
plumber.
Of his own. He was in the army and he was a plumber.
But you say that, but he was a gentleman. It's a complete gentleman and nobody actually said that.
You've never met him!
Well, going on the accounts.
Much like myself, a gentleman.
Exactly.
Take a leaf.
So Bobby Charlton said this about Finney. He said, "I used to look at him and think, this is fantastic." Watching him, you knew fine well the fullbacks had had it. He was just too good for them. Occasionally I had the pleasure to play with him and it was the greatest pleasure anyone could ever give me. I have so many happy memories of watching him play. His contribution to football is immeasurable. So Bobby Charlton.
I think that Finney had the record for England goals before Charlton came along as well.
That's right, yeah. 30.
Didn't he and Nat Lofthouse
as well?
Swap it?
Did they? Okay.
I think so. I think they both got 30. I think only Michael Owen, Lineker, Greaves and Charlton scored more goals for England than Finney. He nearly won. The closest he came to winning a trophy with Preston was in the 1954 FA Cup final. They lost 3-2 to West Brom. But that year he was named England's Footballer of the Year. And also in 1956-57, and he became the first player to win that award more than once. But so many of his teammates, his opponents, the journalists still describe Finney as a true gentleman, very humble, and one of the most high profile footballers in the country. Skill and flair, very few others, kept his integrity as well. The great Bobby Moore said of Finney's game, he said, "That lovely easy control of the ball, the appreciation of the game, the finishing, much of the change of pace, it just unfolded in front of me. I'd never played with a winger like that and I never would. I was amazed by Tom Finney."
Great stuff.
I mean, that's just such high praise. Yeah. You know.
Thief. Joking. Yeah.
Once when he was asked if he enjoyed his England caps, goals and the three World Cups he played in, he said, "Yes, I consider it the golden age of the game." And England, you know, obviously had a poor showing in 50, did okay in 54, 58, but they really should have done something more in those tournaments with the players
they
had.
Well, they were undone by the Hungarians, weren't they?
Yeah, it was
around that time where they didn't sort of take the foreign opposition seriously.
That's right. Yeah. Well, he said they were tactically naive. Yeah. He said it wasn't until sort of
tactically naive, inflated opinion of their own ability.
We've come on so far. He did say Sir Ralph Ramsey got a system in place, and obviously, you know, home advantage, one thing another, would have played a part as well. But he did enjoy very much, and he said, "After travelling the world representing my country for 12 years, I could only offer my grateful thanks to those who made it possible. I would have willingly have paid the FA to play." Such a humble guy, you know. Absolutely loves it.
I would have done their plumbing for free.
One of his greatest moments in an England shirt came in the 1958 World Cup in Sweden. England were 2-1 down to Russia, and they'd been awarded a penalty. Finney stepped up, and he looked up, and the great Lev Yashin was in goal. Now, he knew Yashin was superb at saving penalties. And he would have seen Finney strike a ball with, he would have taken a few penalties before. So he took it with his weaker foot and he scored.
That's amazing.
Oh, God. Gutsy,
balls on it.
I loved it. He said of that, he said, "I scored. I foxed Yashin."
Nice. Foxing Yashin should be parlance.
Like boxing Helena. I like the idea foxed of like Yashin. Him looking at the goal and just seeing pipes.
Yeah.
Set of pipes.
76 international caps for England, 30 goals.
retired from the game in 1960. However, he did come out of retirement to play one game in 1963 for Northern Irish side Distillery in the European Cup against Benfica in Northern Ireland. Very strange.
Yeah.
And it was the only time Finney played in the European Cup, and they got a famous 3-3 draw on the night against Eusebio's Benfica, but they lost the second leg 5-0. I'm not too sure if he played in the second leg. I don't think he did.
Sounds like he didn't.
But, yeah, incredible, really. In 1961, he was awarded the OBE, and much later in 1998, he would be knighted, of course. In a 20-year career, he played 569 first-class games for Preston, was never sent off, booked, or even spoken to by a referee.
Wow. Even spoken to. How have you got the stats on that?
According to the FA. According to the FA. Again, another quote from Tommy Docherty, who said very recently of Sir Tom Finney. He said, "Lionel Messi is a young Tom Finney. He reminds me of him with his attitude, the way he plays. You never see him involved in any unsavoury things. You never hear him criticise anybody, and that was Finney. To me, Messi is Finney reborn."
Not bad, is it?
Hey, I tell you. Docherty came up with some lovely stuff about Finney. One of my favourites was, he made bad passes look great. But, I mean, there's so many quotes on Finney and players from the past giving him praise. We can't go through them all. But in 1996, his face was replicated into the seats of the Tom Finney stand at Deepdale, Preston North End's ground. We like a statue on the football ramble, don't we?
Oh yeah, that one. And his one's brilliant.
Yeah,
one. That was also the sports photographer. That was also the sports photograph of the year in the mid-50s, wasn't it?
That's right. Yeah,
he's sliding in some on like a waterlogged pitch.
Yeah, I think it's a Stamford Bridge.
It is. Yeah, against Chelsea. It is.
And the water's going up everywhere, and they've recreated that in the statue quite brilliantly.
Yeah.
So well done them. So I'll leave the final words to Bill Shankly, a former teammate of Finney's and fellow dwarf inductee. He said, "Tom Finney would have been great in any team, in any match and in any age, even if he had been wearing an overcoat. He had the opposition so frightened that they'd have a man marking him when he was warming up." Tom Finney, worthy.
A lot of quotes in that promo,
there were so many more, you know. I couldn't cut them all down, you know. But that's the end of the show, ladies and gentlemen. I hope you had a lovely time. If you want to email us, the address is show@thefootballramble.com, and the website is thefootballramble.com, Jim.
Yes, it is. And this week on our internet, we have Rupert Fryer discussing the toll the Copa Libertadores takes on the league form of the clubs involved in it. Kieran Pender takes us through the conclusion of the A-League, and David Lynch, obviously not that one, brings us his article from The Blizzard on the incredible role of the ultras of Al Ahly and Zamalek in the Egyptian Revolution. It's a really fascinating piece, so do get over there. Elsewhere, there's the shop, the Hall of Fame, the forum, basically everything you could ever possibly need. Get over there.
Marvellous. Any more for any more?
No.
Good. Right, say goodbye, Jim.
Goodbye, Jim.
Say goodbye, Pete.
Goodbye.
Saying goodbye, Luke.
Goodbye.
It's goodbye from me, too. See you later, Bisto bastards.
Talk about Crawley Town.
Just finish the show.
Amazed at what I can destroy with just a hammer, and I am downright amazed. Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.